Living Fiction. Northwestern University, in cooperation with the National Broadcasting Company, brings you a radio dramatization of another timeless story, The Canterville Ghost by Oscar Wilde, another in a series of living fiction. As the story goes, several years ago, a certain Mr. Hiram B. Otis of the United States Foreign Embassy purchased Canterville Chase, a gloomy, forsaken old English castle. Everyone told him that he was doing a very foolish thing, for there was no doubt the house was haunted. Even Lord Canterville himself, whose family had owned Canterville Chase for hundreds upon hundreds of years, felt it his duty to mention the ghost to Mr. Otis when they met to discuss terms.
And I feel it my duty to warn you, Otis. We've not cared to live in this place ourselves since my grand-aunt, the Dowager Duchess of Bolton, was frightened into a fit by two skeleton hands being placed on her shoulders.
I appreciate your telling me, Lord Canterville.
And I feel bound to tell you, Otis, that the ghost has been seen by several living members of my family, as well as by the rector. None of our younger servants would stay with us, and Lady Canterville never got any sleep at night. All because of the mysterious noises that came from the corridor and the library.
Don't let a little thing like a ghost bother you, my lord. I'll take the furniture and the ghost at evaluation. You see, I come from a modern country where we have everything that money will buy. And I suppose if there were such a thing as a ghost, we'd have it too.
But, Mr. Otis, I fear the ghost does exist. It's been well known since 1584, in fact. And it always makes an appearance before the death of any member of our family.
Well, so does the family doctor, for that matter. No, Lord Canterville, there's no such thing as a ghost. But I might add, my family and I would be interested in finding one.
You are certainly very natural in America. And if you don't mind a ghost in the house, it's all right with me. Only you must remember, I warned you.
So this is Canterville Chase. Gee, look at those big towers and twisted trees all around the house. I'll bet they've been here for 1,000 years.
Hey, Dad, did you see all those rabbits near the house where you parked the car?
Gosh, Johnny, we'll sure be able to shoot a lots of them with our BB gun.
Now, twins, we'll have no shooting around here. You did enough of that back home. Oh, my, it's so quiet and secluded. You know, I think I'm going to get some rest after all.
I knew you'd like it, dear. Otherwise, I wouldn't have bought it.
But it does look awfully dark and mysterious.
Oh, that's just because those big clouds are covering up the sun. It does look as though it might rain soon, though. Well, here we are at the door.
Oh, I'm so excited. You know, it looks just like the old castles we used to read about in school.
It does look sort of romantic, doesn't it?
Might as well go in now. It should start to rain any minute.
Oh, look. There's even a crest on the door.
And the door knocker, Virginia. That's more important. Lord Canterville said there's to be a housekeeper here. Well, we'll soon find out.
Very quiet, isn't it?
Yes?
How do you do? I'm Mr. Otis from America.
Oh, yes. I bid you welcome to Canterville Chase. Will you come in?
By all means. It certainly looks as though we're in for some bad weather.
I'm Mrs. Umney, the housekeeper.
I've heard about you, Mrs. Umney. This is my wife, Mrs. Otis.
It's nice to meet you, Mrs. Umney.
And this is my daughter, Virginia.
Hello.
And these are the twins, Jimmy and Johnny.
Hi. Would you like to see our BB gun?
Not now, twins. Well, now that we all know each other, let's take a look at this place.
Through this door is the library.
Well, this is nice.
Gosh, it's all paneled in black oak.
Certainly looks awfully old.
How can we have any fun in a house like this?
With those big banisters, are you kidding?
I've laid some tea for you, ma'am.
Why, thank you. My children, isn't that a beautiful fireplace?
Oh, yes, it is.
Look there, dear. Isn't that a spot on the floor?
Where?
Right here. Yes. Well, we'll have to clean that off. I'm afraid something's been spilled.
Yes, ma'am. Blood has been spilt on that spot.
How horrid. I don't care at all for bloodstains in a sitting room. It'll have to be removed at once.
It's the blood of Lady Eleanor de Canterville, who was murdered on that very spot by her husband, Sir Simon de Canterville, in 1575.
So?
9 years later, Sir Simon suddenly disappeared, and his body has never been discovered. But his guilty spirit still haunts the chase.
Well, it must be removed.
And the blood has been much admired by tourists and others, and cannot be removed.
Can't be removed?
Why, that's all nonsense. Johnny.
Yeah?
Go look in my brown bag, and you'll find the bottle of Pinkerton's Champion Stain Remover. Pinkerton's will clean up anything in no time.
But, sir, it's tradition. We really couldn't remove the blood stain.
Nonsense. It's near the top, Johnny.
We found it. Here it is, Dad.
Here's an old handkerchief to pour it on with.
Now, we'll just give it a rub. There. Ah, nothing to it. I know Pinkertons would do it.
Oh! Oh, quick, dear, Mrs. Umney's fainted.
But Thunder must have scared her.
Here, Mother, I'll rub her wrist.
What terrible weather. I guess there's so many people here, they don't have enough decent weather to go around.
Hiram, what can we do with a woman who faints?
Charge it to her like breakage. She won't faint after that. How is she, Virginia?
Oh, there. She's coming, too. You'll be all right now.
Oh, thank you, my dear.
You sure scared us.
Hey, do you do that very much?
I don't like it. You shouldn't have removed the spot. There'll be trouble. I've seen things with me own eyes that would make a person's hair stand on end. I don't like it. There'll be trouble. You don't know the ghost.
Just as red as it always was. Those Americans have no respect for tradition. For 400 years, this spot has been here, and these infidel Americans have the audacity to remove it. Oh, how they shall taste the vengeance of the Canterville ghost. How they shall be made to writhe in terror. I shall waste no time. Now, how shall I disguise myself? Shall I appear as Red Reuben, the Strangled Babe? What success I had with that disguise. Or I could go as Gaunt Gibbon, the vampire of Bexley Moor. Oh, I could wait until morning when they're at the breakfast table and play a game of ninepins with my own bones upon the living room floor. That alone turned three Cantervilles into blubbering idiots. Oh, those were the days. All my great achievements. I have it! Tonight, I think I will wear my chain. And I shall glow with a faint phosphorescence. Just enough green light for them to see me. There, that's it. Where's my mirror? Ah, yes. This is the disguise with which I frightened the butler insane last year. And all he saw was a faint green hand at the window, and he heard only a few light clangs. First, I'll go to the master bedroom, then to Virginia's room, and then to the twins' room, little brat. With these burning eyes, green bodies, soiled clothes, and these heavy manacles, I'll haunt their souls through eternity. Now, up the stairs, down the hall, and through the bedroom door. Ghosts never worry about doors. They just slip through them like mist. Now...
Who's making that noise? Is that you, twins? Oh, so you're the Canterville ghost. Noisy chains you have there, aren't they? You know, we can't possibly sleep with you clanking around in those things. Here, wait a second. I have some Tammany Rising Sun lubricator in my closet. That should do the trick, by golly. Those chains sure look as though they need oil.
What's the matter, Dad?
We heard a funny noise.
Ooh. Hey, there's a ghost.
Hey, hold him, Jimmy. I got my BB gun. It's right here in the hall.
Hey, that's not fair. I saw him first.
What's that? Now, here I come.
Quick, Johnny, crawl behind this door.
I see him. Take this, Mr. Ghost.
Oh! You punish his bedroom.
Look at him run, will you? He's going down the hall.
Hey, I'll get the pillow off Dad's bed.
All right, boys, let the poor ghost alone now and get back to bed.
There he is, Johnny. Throw the pillow, quick.
Okay, here I go.
Wow, you got him right on his head.
Hey, Dad, look what he's doing now.
Well, can you imagine that? He's turned into a big dog. Isn't that ingenious? I suppose the poor thing must not feel well.
Hold still, Johnny. Let me side over your shoulder. Ah, you missed him.
Well, he disappeared through the wall anyway. Okay, boys, back to bed. We've got to get up early tomorrow to see the estate, you know.
All right, Dad, good night. Night, Dad.
Good night, boys. Settle down now.
The nerve of some people. Oh, the humility of it all. Oh, and such ignominy, offering me lubricating oil, shooting little guns at me, hitting my head with a pillow. Oh, and to think that very same stunt of mine turned Lord Raker's wig gray in a single night. Ah, but things shall be different. I will appear before them in my remarkable impersonation of Martin the Maniac, or perhaps Dumb Daniel the Suicide Skeleton, or is it Rupert the Corpse Snatcher of Chartsey Barn? Oh, how they shall rue their deeds, the infidels!
Toast, please, Mother.
Certainly, dear. Hiram, have you noticed how the rain left the grass and trees so nice and clean?
Yes, it was quite a storm, all right. Too bad you missed seeing the ghost last night, Virginia.
Oh, I'm so far away from everyone at the other end of the hall. I guess I slept through all the excitement.
I wasn't there last night either, but I must say that considering the length of time he's been here, I don't think it's at all polite to throw pillows at him.
On the other hand, if he insists on refusing to use the oil I offered him, well, we'll just have to take his chains away from him. Otherwise, it's going to be impossible to sleep with such a racket going on in the hallway.
Hiram, did you notice that blood stain? It's back on the library floor again.
It is?
Yes.
Well, there's another thing we shall have to warn the ghost about. No unsightly stains on the floor, and he might just as well realize that we are firm on that principle right now.
Enough of this nonsense. It's time I showed them just who is master of this house. Now, what shall we select from the wardrobe for this occasion? Well, my slouched hat with a red feather can't be left out. It will add a homey touch to my costume. Oh, a nice winding sheet, frilled at the wrists and necks. And, oh yes, I mustn't forget my rusty dagger. Now, let them dare to scoff at me. Me! The Canterville Ghost. Now, down through the wainscoting. And up the stairs. Let's see now. First, I shall go to Virginia's room. And I shall stand at the foot of her bed and gibber. Then I will stab myself in the throat 3 times to the sound of low music. Then to the master bedroom where... Oh, what shall I do? Oh, yes. I'll place a nice, cold, clammy hand on Mrs. Otis's forehead while I whisper into the ear of her trembling husband the awful secrets of Canterville Chase. I might grabble at the counterpane with palsy-twitching fingers a few times, too. And as for those twins, oh, what a lesson I'll teach them. First, I'll sit on their chests and stifle them. Then I'll stand between them in the form of an icy green freezing corpse till they become paralyzed with fear. And finally, as my pièce de résistance, I'll divest myself of my sheet and crawl around the room with white bleached bones and one rolling eyeball. That alone made Lady Barbara Modish die a raving maniac. Now, down the hall! It's almost time. They should be sleeping peacefully. All I have to do is drift around the corner and then I can... Ow! Ow! Another ghost!
And I have come to haunt you, Canterville
ghost.
No,
those fiery eyes, a horrible loose mouth.
Oh, it can't be! Not another ghost, not another one!
Did you see him run?
Guys, that was funny. Did you see his long sheet streaming out behind him?
Yeah, and the way he ran through that wall and the look on his face.
Come on, let's follow him.
Through a wall? Don't be silly. Hey, where'd you ever learn to yell like a ghost?
The same place you learned to write like a ghost. Gosh, the expression on his face when he read that.
What are you boys doing up so late? And what are you doing with that sheet and Father's flashlight?
You tell her, Johnny. Well, we wanted to scare the ghost, Virginia, so we rigged up the sheet over these boards and cut holes in the top and pasted red paper over the holes.
Holes in the sheet? Oh, just wait till Mother sees that. And what's this sign? Ye Otis, ghost, ye only true and original spook, beware of ye imitations. All others are counterfeits. Did you twins write this?
Sure. We pinned that sign on our ghost. Boy, you should have seen him run.
But it was for a good cause, Virginia.
I bet we scared him away for good.
Oh, why don't you boys leave that poor old ghost alone?
You should have seen him running down the hall as fast as he could.
And he went right through a wall.
Oh, well. You run along to bed right now. And don't worry that poor ghost anymore. And you'd better take these things with you, or Father won't see them as soon as he gets up.
Okay, Virginia.
Good night.
Gee, I sort of pity that old fellow. It's almost as though he were human, just like any of us.
Good morning, dear. What are you doing on your hands and knees?
Oh, it's this floor. It's still just like it was when we came here. That Canterville ghost seems to be very fond of this blood spot.
Well, he's not only a noisy ghost, but a persistent
one.
Well,
I certainly wish he'd be more considerate. Cleaning spots off floors isn't the world's most pleasant task.
I thought you scrubbed that spot off yesterday.
Oh, I did. But Mr. Ghost felt differently about it last night.
Gee, that's the fifth straight time. Hey, and look. Yesterday the spot was kind of dull red. Today it's yellow.
Wonder why that is. Gee, that's funny.
Well, well, well. Business as usual, I see. Still at it, eh, dear?
Yes, Hiram. And I'm getting very tired of it. Very tired.
I notice this time the spot's green.
And we're practically out of Pinkerton spot remover, too. Oh, Virginia, would you get me a rag, please?
Oh, Mother, why don't you leave it alone? That spot won't hurt anything.
Why, what's the matter, Virginia?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll get a rag for you.
No, I wonder when he'll tire of painting that spot back on. First bright red, then dull red, next yellow and blue, and now green. Oh, I wish he'd at least make up his mind.
Well, I think it's about time for Hiram Otis to take leave of his happy family.
What time is it, Mother?
It's 11 already, dear.
And I, for one, am going to bed. You coming, Mrs. Otis?
Yes, I guess so. I certainly hope that ghost remains quiet tonight. I'd like to get some sleep.
The way those twins scared him that first night, and have been treating him ever since, I wouldn't be surprised if we never see him again. You coming to bed now, Virginia?
No. I think I'll sit here and read a while. And I do think you should all be ashamed of yourselves, the way you've been treating that poor goat.
Oh, Virginia.
Come to bed soon, dear.
I will. Good night.
Good night, Virginia.
Good night, dear. Don't read too late.
Oh. I wish I could talk to the ghost. I bet he's not as bad as everyone says he is. He can probably love and hate just like any other person.
That's right. I can love and hate and be afraid, too.
Who's that?
Just me, the Canterville ghost.
Oh, I don't see you around anywhere. Why don't you show yourself? I'd like to talk with you.
I wish I could talk to somebody who understood how my life really is.
Oh, I'll understand. Really, I will.
Oh, what can a mortal know of the spirit world? Oh, I'm so tired and weak, and my nerves are completely shattered, and I start at the slightest noise.
Oh, why don't you sit down? You could probably use a little rest. This couch is very comfortable.
If it will please you. Although I feel more at home in my nice, cold, lead coffin.
Won't you please make yourself visible to me? You know, I never have seen you. In fact, I'm the only one around here who hasn't.
If it will please you.
Oh, there you are. A little misty, but much more solid than air.
Are you sure the twins are in bed?
Oh, yes, quite sure.
They are little ruffians.
Oh, no, they're not really bad. Just like all other American boys.
But they made life so difficult for me. They stretched strings across the hall to trip me. And yesterday they greased the back stairs with butter and I fell from top to bottom and bruised my shins. It's not as though I didn't have to wander around the house, because I really do have my duties to perform.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It is my solemn duty to appear in the corridor once a week, and to gibber from the large window on the first and third Wednesday of every month. And I don't see how I can honorably escape from my obligations.
Oh, you poor ghost.
But I've given up all hope of ever frightening this rude American family. You don't know what terrible lengths I've been forced to in order to escape those fiendish twins. I met them Thursday in the kitchen and was forced to make my way into the stove and up through the flues into my room. Fortunately, the stove wasn't lit.
Oh, well, that can't go on. Tell me, why must you always be a ghost? Can't you just die like other people? You know, Mrs. Umney, the housekeeper, told us you murdered your wife.
Well, I quite admit it. But it was purely a family matter.
Oh, but it's wrong to kill anyone.
Virginia, you didn't know my wife. She was so plain, and she was always nagging, and never had my ruffs properly starched. And she knew absolutely nothing about cookery. Why, there was a buck I killed in Hogley Hollow, a magnificent creature. And you know how she had it sent to the table? Well, that's all over now. The only thing that matters is that I killed her.
Oh, how terrible.
Well, there's no more terrible than your rude, vulgar, dishonest family.
You stop that. It's you who are rude and vulgar and horrid. And as for dishonesty, you know who stole the paints out of my box and painted that ridiculous bloodstain right here on the library floor. First you took all my red, and then the yellow, and then the blue. But even when I saw the emerald green, I never told on you. Now, who ever heard of green blood?
Well, what was I to do? It's very hard to get real blood nowadays. And as for that, the Cantervilles had blue blood, the bluest in all of England. Well, still, that doesn't help me now. I want to go to sleep, but I can't.
Oh, that's silly. All you have to do is go to bed and blow out the candle.
I haven't slept for 400 years, and I'm tired. You know, there is something restful about you. I've begun to feel rested already.
I told you it was easy.
Virginia, has anyone ever told you you were beautiful?
Why, no, I'm not.
But it's true. It's very true. You're one of the most beautiful mortals I've ever seen.
Oh, you flatter me, Mr. Ghost. But I really shouldn't stay here any longer. It's way past my bedtime. And I would have been asleep long ago if you hadn't come along.
But I had to do something. It's not my fault. It's your brothers who make me so nervous. If they had let me quietly murder them, things would have gone on as they have for the past 400 years. Now, is that too much to ask of them?
Kill my brothers? Oh, how awful. You get out of here right away. The idea of saying that about my brothers.
Please don't send me away, Virginia. I love you. Really, I do. Oh, you don't want to send me away, do you? You do love me, don't you?
Oh, I'm terribly sorry, but I don't love you. And I certainly wouldn't consider an old ghost who wants to murder my brother.
I know it's true. Very true. But But if you say that again, you'll break my heart.
I'm very sorry. Maybe we can continue our conversation some other time. But I must go to bed now. So, good night, Mr. Ghost. I do hope you sleep well tonight.
Wait, Virginia. Wait, Virginia. Oh, mournful world. Now I'm all alone again. All alone. How I wish I were really dead. Death. Death must be so beautiful. To lie in the soft brown earth with the grasses waving above one's head and listen to silence. To have no yesterday and no tomorrow. To forget time, to forget life. Be it, peace. How long must I go on like this? Sometimes I envy my wife, Lady Eleanor. All those years, she's had no worries, no anguish, and no heartbreak and loneliness. No two little brats to bother her. Lady Eleanor, I do envy you. If only I could be where you are. But what's the use? Still, when I think of what she did to my ruffs and her horrible, horrible cookery...
Was she really that bad, my lord?
And the way she used to nag... Goodness, what was that?
Who do you think, my lord?
Not another Otis ghost to scare me?
Yes, a ghost, Lord Canterville, but this time a real one. Look closely.
Yes, now I can see her. Upon my soul...
Right, Simon, Lady Eleanor, your wife.
Zounds.
Remember me, your sweet little
wife. But I
wife,
thought you were... I...
Where I couldn't keep an eye on you, my lord. A hard
Well, day. Well, I was... It's nice to see you again, dear.
Don't you dear me, you hound. You're just like you always were. I've waited 400 years to get something on you, and now I've got
it. My dear, I don't quite understand.
Oh, don't look so innocent. I heard you propose to that young girl. You ought to be ashamed.
But Lady Eleanor, I naturally assumed I... After all these years, I...
I know exactly what you've assumed, you cradle robber,
but
you...
My dear, you wrong me, I assure you. I had only the very best of intentions.
I know all about your intentions, Simon. And enough of this procrastinating. I heard you tell that young girl you loved
your
her.
Your ears deceive you, Lady Eleanor.
I've left you alone all these years, Lord Canterville. But now I think it's about time I look after you.
Nonsense, my dear. There's no need for that. Now, I've been getting along perfectly splendid.
Yes, I can see that. No, Simon, I'm not leaving. I feel you need your
it's
wife.
It's nice of you to consider my feelings, but I really don't think there's any need
no,
for you
No, Lord
to...
Canterville, my mind's made up. And to start with, I'd like to have a little discussion with
now,
you.
Now, stay back, dear, stay back. Let go of
when
my
I
rough.
Finish talking to you, Simon, you won't need any
But Lady Eleanor, please, put your shoe back.
I'll put it back, all right, right on the back of your head.
Hey, Mom, come here, quick.
Look what we found in the library, Dad.
Guess what we found.
You've never seen this before.
What in the world is all this commotion about?
Now, quiet down, children. What's happened?
Over here by the fireplace.
I don't see anything.
Right here on the floor.
Oh, my goodness. Hiram, do you see what I see?
Where?
Right by your foot, Dad.
Two spots of blood.
Canterville Ghost by Oscar Wilde is another in the series of living fiction presented each week by Northwestern University in cooperation with the National Broadcasting Company. The Canterville Ghost, adapted for radio by David Eckbird and Edward Abramson. The cast and directors were students of Northwestern University. Mr. Otis was played by Don Knipp, Virginia by Pat Harner. The Ghost by Richard Swift. Others in today's cast included Faith Kellogg, Bert Weil, Norma Leonza, Nancy Shields, Christine Gehring, John Bowditch, the assistant director, Barbara Clark, the director, Joseph Gillis. This is Don Anderson speaking. This is the NBC Radio Network.